following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, I'm Mike Greenberg. Tired of your allergy symptoms interfering with your life? Try Allegra. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy. It starts working in just 1 hour and keeps working for 24 hours to relieve your toughest symptoms, like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes, even on the toughest pollen days. So stop suffering and start living with Allegra. Applies to first dose only. Among OTC-branded antihistamines, use as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
$5 footlong. Footlong Nation, rejoice. Right now at Subway, any regular footlong is a $5 footlong, all September long. All your favorites, like the sweet onion chicken teriyaki, the Subway Club, and even the Italian BMT are just $5 each. With tons of $5 footlongs to choose from, we need an entire month to celebrate. So hurry in to get yours.
Subway. Prices and participation may vary. Less tax will applicable. Exclude Supreme Subs. Additional charge for extras. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show on this Wednesday from the loft at Cunningham's for another Husker lunch, which I hope, folks, you come on out, because Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star is going to be joining us on the program today at the end of the show. And then, really, he's going to be in there to answer your questions. And I think we've got the UCLA game to talk about, obviously, where the Huskers are. He's also put up on his columns what's going on with the Tommy Frazier tweet. And, of course, what's going on with the audio. And he's getting some national pub back from Deadspin, as he said one thing about them. They've responded. It's, you know what, I want to start right now, because Andy Siegel is going to join us momentarily, the offensive coordinator at UNK for our Loper Link. We're also going to talk with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report, and we invite you up here to join us at Cunningham's. $8.99 for a barbecue buffet that's got chicken, pork, the ribs, it's all so good. Beef brisket as well. It's so good. $8.99. Join us here today for all of that. I want to get this comment out of the way. I said I was going to give it just a little bit of time to see what happened Monday night and into Tuesday morning. A majority of the national media is backing Bo Pelini, not for what happened with what he
said.
Not
on the field, yeah.
But and basically most of them that are in football, that are analysts, can understand this as well. Let's get over it. Let's get past it. Let's get to South Dakota State. I don't want to hear anybody mention him not coaching Saturday. I don't want to hear anybody mention him not coaching again at Nebraska. Let's move on. That's now where I am at with this.
Oh, absolutely. And I, to be honest with you, I don't even think he really needs to have a reprimand, because in the last 2 years, and you know, we said this a couple of times, I kind of talked about his demeanor on the sideline, kind of went through a little evaluation of that earlier in the year from here from Cunningham's before. And I said, I thought the growth in him has been tremendous over the last few years. And I think the kind of thing that happened, and I sure understand why it happened right after the Ohio State game 2 years ago, I think that he's grown and matured to the point where that would not happen again this year. And I'll tell you what, if you find me a coach that never uses that word that we're all kind of talking about, or doesn't ever get excited or get kind of bent out of shape with a come-from-behind win with the fans left at halftime, you find me a coach that doesn't react, at least thinking what he said, I show you a coach that I'm not sure I'd want anybody to play for, because there's no fire there. There's no fire. There's no desire there. There's no burn there.
And folks, we'd love to get your thoughts. Go ahead and join us here at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's the Facebook. You can tweet us at ESPN1460-1550. And, of course, you can always Facebook us, ESPN Superstation. Give us a call. Or you can email the Debt Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. So I wanted to get that Husker thought out there first as we jump into our Husker lunch. Steve Sipple, 12-1 here at Cunningham's. And then get your reaction. I'm gaining about 75-25, 80-20, is that's where it sits right now on Nebraska's side. So we'll get more into that in a little bit. But let's jump into our Loper Link here on the Doug and Daddy Show every Wednesday, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at Charter West National Bank. He decided he wanted to come on in and be a part of this MIAA move, and in his second season as offensive coordinator for the UNK Lopers is Andy Siegel. Andy, thanks for coming up, and thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
Great to have you, and big games coming up the next 2 weeks. This schedule is really no different than it was last year, so everybody knew what was going on, and we had Coach Morris on yesterday kind of recapping what happened last week, saying he thought maybe the team was starting to mature a little bit there in the second half. Give me your thoughts on what you saw last Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I thought second half the team had two choices. They could fold up and let that thing get real ugly or rise up and fight. And I thought they came back and fought on every aspect, special teams, offense, defense. Everybody kind of stepped up. And, you know, you're playing a lot of young guys, and a lot of young guys kind of matured last week. And I'm anxious to see what they're going to do this week.
Is that maturity physical or mental, kind of understanding what you guys want to do, or is it a combination of the two?
I think it's more mental than physical. I mean, where they're at physically is where they're going to be, but mentally understanding the speed of the game. You know, you've got freshmen out there that last year this time they're playing against high school teams. Now they're playing against grown men, you know, 22, 23-year-old men. They're 18 years old. It's a big, big change. And we've got other guys that haven't played football in 4 years. You know, in Bronson's case, he's been running scout team at the University of Nebraska. He hasn't really played real live football in 4 years. It's a difference when it's live and the bullets are flying and they're coming after you trying to take your head off.
Where in just from last year to this year are you seeing changes? I'm sure you came in with one thought and you wanted this is the way you wanted to do it. You got to have the pieces to do that. So, well, where are you at right now in this? And we're talking about with the you got to have patience, and yeah. Nobody wants it when it gets right down to brass tacks. So where are you at right now?
We had a talk last night as a staff, and we just looked at the scout team. And I know that's not where most people are looking. Our defensive scout team yesterday was as good as any defense we faced this year. I mean, we're looking at those type of players right there in the scout team, and we can see that the future's good. We've got to keep them together, keep them developing, get our guys that are going to, they're playing right now, keep them developing, and it's going to be great. And you can see that. It's not something where you say, well, we've got to bring this guy in and we've got to bring that guy in. We still got to bring guys in, but you can see guys are in place right now. They just, you can't wave a crystal ball and make them older overnight. They've got to get older, more mature, get experience, get games underneath their belt, and get in different situations they haven't been in yet.
The NFL has preseason. A lot of the Division I programs have kind of those cupcake games to kind of get warmed up with. You guys are right in the fire. You guys are kind of right in there. And really the toughest part of your schedule is the earliest part of the schedule.
Exactly.
What are some of the difficulties in terms of you getting your offense where you want it to be while still playing that level of competition?
You know, it's tough because when you start off right in the frying pan like we do, you're going to get guys banged up. That's part of the game. So whereas you're building things up to take care of this person or that person and build to their strengths, they're not in there. They're hurt. They're off on the side. They're getting rehabbed. They're missing a couple of days of practice to get right. So what happens is it throws your timing off. We're still trying to get to where we get our timing right. Plus, again, keep bringing up, we're playing a lot of young guys. I mean, at any time this week and next week, well, four quarterbacks on the field at the same time playing positions besides quarterback. And that's something that kind of throws you off a little bit. You know, I looked around the perimeter last week, and there wasn't one guy at one point in the game that had been on this program last year and traveled, all on the perimeter. None of them were.
That's dangerous. That's dangerous right there. Andy Siegel, offensive coordinator, UNK Lopers, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show with our Loper Link. Brought it up with Daryl yesterday, and there could be a variety of reasons, offensive line, just the strength of the I-backs or what Bronson can do at quarterback. But the Lopers have been fortunate to have a home run hitter at the running back position. Yeah. And a home run hitter in the RMAX, probably different than a home run hitter in the MIAA, but there's been some really good guys here. Doesn't seem like that's where you guys are at right now.
talk about the development, what you've got at running back right now, and what you're trying to do with that position.
Yeah, and again, I can't speak on the RMAC. I've never coached in it. I mean, I coached in the Conference USA, not the RMAC. So, yeah, right now we're doing it by committee. You know, we've got some good football players. I'm not going to say they're great yet, but there's some good guys. Romero Cotton's going to be a good player. He's still trying to get rid of those wrestling legs and get his football legs. Dalton Sealy's trying to come off of an injury, and when he gets healthy, he's going to be a pretty good football player. Stephen Rush, you can count on him. He's a blue-collar, everyday back and do what you need him to do. Daniel DeSager, coming off of wrestling, is a little kind of a scat back type guy. So they all kind of bring something different, and Cody Anthony kind of gives you a hammer back. So they're all different. We're kind of right now just taking advantage of the fact that they're all different guys and rolling them in with fresh legs and trying to take that approach.
And trying to figure out how to get all those pieces to fit together, yeah. You know, with Bronson as well. How is that kind of coming? I mean, are you finding your identity as an offensive football team, what you want to do?
We're getting there. We're trying to be balanced. You know, if you look at week one, we were pretty heavy run week one. Tried to be balanced. Week two, we were obviously pretty heavy pass because of the situation being down 31-7 at halftime. And, you know, truth be told, that was what we came into the game plan planning was to throw the football a lot more last week. So, you know, we're trying to get back to being balanced and let Bronson kind of not have to win the game. That's what we're trying to get him to understand. You don't have to be the savior. You don't have to be the guy that win every single football game. Be the manager. Get it in the running back's hands. Get it in the receiver's hands. Get it in the tight end's hands. Switch us into something. If the defense gives us a look we don't like, switch us into something better. And that's what we're trying to get at.
How's he doing?
He's a really smart kid. He works hard, and he's getting there. And it's close. You know, he's making mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, but he's doing a really good job.
You kind of talked about managing the game. My impression from watching the first game, I didn't hit the road last week, but watching him in the first game, it really felt like I got the sense that he was really trying to win it, that he was trying to hit a five-run homer with nobody on base, in a sense, in a football and, you know, baseball analogy for football. How do you kind of calm that down? Is that something that you like to see because he wants to be the guy? Where are you at with that?
I mean, you want that guy that wants the ball in his hand in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line, but also we're trying to get him to understand, again, don't hit the home run. Go ahead, and there's nothing wrong with a single and a double and move the guy around the bases, and that's what we're trying to get him to understand. You know, and a couple things we've talked about is, you know, the pressure of, hey, you came from down the road in Lincoln, you came over here, everybody's thinking you're going to be the savior and you've got to win us a national championship every single play, and that's not the case. And he's just got to kind of get into his role, and he's getting there.
Talking with Andy Siegel here for another couple of moments on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're live at Cunningham's for our weekly luncheon. Talk me a little bit through that offensive line, because I keep understanding that you watch the other guys come off the bus and they're just a different breed of guys. How is the offensive line stacking up for you right now?
I mean, we've got a solid five offensive line. The difference is when you look at some of these other teams, they're rolling 5, 10, 15 guys that look like our first five. And that's, I think that's the next mission, is to build up where our first and second team look like everyone else's first and second team. You know, I think our five offensive linemen are pretty darn solid. And the greatest thing about them, we only graduate one. That's Junebug over at right guard. The rest of those guys are back. They're good football players. You know, my opinion, Cole Manhart's as good as any offensive tackle in the country, Division II football.
You didn't say Junebug's real name.
I mean, can't say Old Coyote something.
I have to do it once a week, and that's more than enough for me as well. Andy, where do you kind of – give me a quick scouting report. And, again, I'm not asking you to give away the game plan or anything for Saturday, but obviously you're playing a pretty good football team coming in for homecoming this week. Talk a little bit about what you're going to be facing Saturday and how you kind of address that. Again, not giving away the game plan.
Sure. Well, they've got a great front defensive line. Their four defensive linemen are as good as anyone we face this year. Number 43 with a long ponytail, that's how we've been identifying him. You know, he's extremely active and athletic and spins and does a lot of things up front. They love to stem their defensive line, so that causes some problems. Their linebackers are real good at getting out in coverage, which causes some problems. They've got some pretty good defensive backs. You know, we think we found some things in their defensive backfield that we can take some advantage of. Hopefully we'll find out. I don't know. You know, they may shut everything down. I don't know, but I know that they're a good defense, they're a solid defense, and the bottom line is they're the defending champs. And what I've been telling our guys all week is, hey, they've got the championship, and until somebody takes it from them, they're the champs. Now, you can sit there and bow down and say, you're the champ, we give up, or he can stand up and fight. We're telling the kids we're going to stand up and fight and give them everything we got and see what happens when the bell sounds.
Well, Andy, let me ask you that question that always makes the toes curl on the coach a little bit. It is homecoming. The first game wasn't exactly what you wanted to show the home fans. How important is this for the alumni that will be coming back? You always want to play well on homecoming, and I would have picked an easier game, but, you know, you got that in front of you as well.
You know, you want to have a good showing at home, secondly, because you got all the local kids are going to come out and see your guys that you're recruiting are going to be at this game. Your fans are going to be at the game. Your alumni are going to be at the game. The former players, you want to show that, hey, you know, we can compete at this league. We can compete at this level and that we're getting better. And like I said last week, our biggest improvements got between week one and week two, and I thought we did. Now we've got to take it to the next level and clean up the mistakes in week two, polish it up, and do things right for week three.
Did you find a few players that really kind of stepped up? You know what? We're going to give them more looks. What are some of those players?
Oh, yeah. You know, Luke McNitt had a great game week two. You know, week one he was there, but he didn't do a whole lot of things. He wasn't active in the play calling and in the game and stuff. And I thought week two, you know, he made a couple really big catches, made a nice run down on the goal line, and almost had another touchdown down on the goal line. So there's someone that we need to kind of get more involved. I thought Daniel DeShazer, you know, week one, I don't even think maybe he had one carry, two carries. And this last week he had quite a few carries. So we've kind of found that, you know, in the zone game, he's a pretty good running back, and he's really good out in space. So those are a couple of things we've kind of developed and felt pretty confident with those two.
All right, Andy, we want to get the folks out there for a homecoming game on Saturday. And next 2 weeks, see some really good football here. I think that would obviously put some energy back in everybody.
Oh, yeah. You know, and the schedule doesn't get any easier because we're looking at it going, okay, you got Missouri Western this week, Northwest Missouri the following week, Lindenwood, who's a solid football team, and then you got this team called Central Arkansas. You know, there ain't no tune-ups.
I want to get this right. Let me put this in perspective if I've got this right. If I looked right, I think Central Arkansas they lost to Colorado.
On the last play of the game.
And they're still just like two spots behind the South Dakota State team that's going to be playing in Lincoln this week. So that's the kind of competition that UNK is going to see.
Yeah.
What do you do? Drink a lot of coffee or... You know, how do you handle
it? Well, I told the kids, I said, Coach Crocker and myself have both coached against Central Arkansas when we coached in that conference, when Crock was at Arkansas Tech and I was at Southern Arkansas University. Neither one of us has ever lost to Central Arkansas. So we keep telling them, hey, we ain't never lost to them, so let's just keep going.
Let's go get them. Andy, thanks for taking part of your day and coming out and chatting with us. Best of luck this weekend.
I appreciate it.
Good luck, Andy. Thanks.
Thank you.
Andy Siegel, part of our Loper Link, the offensive coordinator for the UNK football team. Again, kickoff is set for 3 o'clock. Couple of things. I brought it up as a point of discussion on this show after the first home game or the day of the first home game. There is a new look to the Loper pregame, Randy. The Loper Alley, the fan experience, is going to be there. A number of entertainment options are going to be there. There's music, a kids zone, food and beverage service, merchandise vendors. Fans will be able to greet the players as they make their way to the stadium and join in special performances by the band. They have picked it up, it looks like, in what is a great deal to have it here and get it going for homecoming.
Well, it's more than just the game now. You know, before it was like, okay, we're going to put you over here if you guys want to tailgate, great. But now it's kind of more organized, orchestrated, more things going on. And I think it's a great way for fans to have a little bit more involvement and make that into more of an experience and not just the game. And I think that's exactly what Athletic Director Paul Plinsky and the folks that were kind of putting this together, that's exactly what they want to do. And it's going to be kind of a neat deal. I think even before I head up to the press box about an hour before kickoff, I might head over there for a little while too. Because, I mean, it is a nice I want to check it out a little bit. I want to check out the new venue and where they're at. But I think it's going to be a neat deal.
And also in Loper news, the Loper volleyball team, they went 3-1 at the Colorado Premier Challenge, losing to 11th-ranked Angelo State. That dropped them to 5th in the country. They come out last night, no problem. They pound Fort Hays State. Ashley Leitner led the way. 11 kills. Team hit 351. They're home Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock both nights. So right after the football game on Saturday, you can slide over and catch them play Central Oklahoma, who is undefeated as of this moment. They're 9-0. Pittsburgh State comes in on Friday. So that's what's going on for the Lopers. They're also at home Tuesday to take on York College. In soccer, the women are at Southwest Baptist Thursday and 17th-ranked Central Missouri Saturday. The women went 1-1 down in Oklahoma last weekend. The cross-country teams are headed to the Woody Greeno Nebraska Invitational on Saturday as well. That gets underway at 10 a.m. So that's what's going on with the Lopers. And our Loper Link brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. Call Russ Smith. They offer all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons. They have the loans at Charter West National Bank.
I'm planning on DVRing one game and certainly enjoying the other. I mean, I'm really looking forward to watching the Lopers at home this week. Again, they fight, they struggle. You know, they've got their hands full. They're growing, and they haven't really kind of grown into the new conference yet. But they continue to get better, I think. And I continue to hope that we can still see that a little bit.
We'll take a break. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you from Cunningham's. Folks, this is the place to be today for our Husker lunch. Enjoy the great meal. Get registered for the Nebraska-Iowa tickets. We're upstairs in the loft. We give away, we've got a beautiful Husker lamp we're giving away today, certificates of T&M Sporting Goods. It's much more than just the man, but today is the day you want to be here. Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal Star, talking about everything that's been going on with the Huskers. Slide on up from noon to 1 for lunch today here at Cunningham's. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep, is coming up when we return.
Uh-oh. Summer's over. Kids are back in school. With my schedule, how am I going to stay in shape?
Complete Nutrition will help you do it all this fall. Picture yourself trim and fit.
Yeah.
With more energy and motivation.
Well, that's better.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
How'd you do it? You took charge with a little help from your partners at Complete Nutrition.
Can they help me lose weight?
Complete Nutrition will customize a weight loss plan for you that'll work.
This won't be easy.
Talk to our experts about your goals. We have the advice and products that will help you meet them.
Do you know how busy I am?
Yes. We'll design a plan to fit in with your busy life.
Okay. I just need the willpower.
Maybe you just need to visit Complete Nutrition for a plan that makes finding the willpower a little bit easier. You can do it all this fall.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordmans off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
You know, my schedule doesn't look so scary anymore.
Complete Nutrition.
They call me Murphy, and I'm a service tech at Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. It was 9:30 on a Saturday morning, and a Kona Blue Mustang drove in.
I'm due for a tire rotation.
I poured her coffee, black. She hopped on Wi-Fi, and I got to work. I inflated, rotated, and aligned the tires. Multi-point inspection looked good. Took a half hour, tops.
With a full range of services, great prices on 13 name-brand tires, and no appointment necessary, Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.
As sunny skies continue across the area today, we're looking at a high of 93, a south Wednesday gusting around 15 to 30. Tonight, there's a chance for some scattered storms developing with a low near 63. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 77.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you live in the loft at Cunningham's as we get ready for our next Husker lunch. Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal Star, will be on hand. Come on up, enjoy a great barbecue lunch. In fact, the buffet is ready to go right now. If you want to slide in a little bit early and relax, have that lunch done so you can 100% focus on the sip, Randy.
Yeah, you can find out then. See if he's canceled his subscription to Deadspin after their evaluation of him.
We'll talk about all that coming up in just a little bit as well. But it's $8.99 to grab your lunch and then get registered for all the great giveaways that we're going to have here as well. Let's don't forget our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Well, yesterday's question, will Bo Pelini be punished in some form for his comments on the audio tape from 2 years ago? Will he be punished? I'm a little surprised at our vote. 76% said no, 18% said yes, only 6% said they're undecided on that. Will he be punished? And you heard if you were with us at the top of the show, I think we're past it. To do anything now to say you can't coach South Dakota State, you're trying to put the campfire out. All you're doing there is stirring up the embers and keeping it going. Let it die out. It's over. It went through its national media run yesterday. Let it go. Let it go.
And again, that national media run basically said the person that leaked this was vindictive. I mean, that was kind of, if not that word, that kind of a concept with that. And that you don't do it. And again,
who hasn't been in that moment where you've said something off air? You know, I mean, you ask me a question while I have a microphone on and it's going to be broadcast on the radio. That answer might be a little bit different than if we're sitting here up at the loft with over a couple of beers. I mean, we all understand that we sometimes need to vent and it shouldn't be broadcast and made public. And it was unfair to Pelini that that happened to him.
And boy, we vent to each other once in a while. Our midtime, our cooler question of the day today, there's eight NFL teams that are 0-2. Which one has the best chance to make the playoffs? Which 0-2 team has the best chance to make the playoffs? Everybody was hot on Cleveland. They're 0-2. Tampa Bay just hasn't looked good. Pittsburgh hasn't looked good. I mean, these 0-2 teams, I think you whittle it down. There's only a couple of them you can even consider, and that's the Giants and Washington. I never was on the Carolina bandwagon. And so one of those two has to step up and compete with the Cowboys and Eagles, I guess. And that's a tough, pretty tough division.
Well, 9-7 may very well win that division. And that's not a knock on the division. The point is, half of their games in that division, those teams are going to play, are against each other, and they're all pretty solid. There's
I'm
no
go with Washington.
And I'm going to go with the Giants because I really think the Giants maybe are a little bit better team than what Washington is, especially if RG3 continues to kind of struggle, as sophomore quarterbacks are liking to do.
And especially when I draft them in my fantasy team. And that's our Midtown Mark Cooler question.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. He's got game.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. As we know, Robert, there's plenty of times that we should never have our microphones on when we speak.
I'd like to make something very clear right now. Are we on?
Yes, yeah, we're on, Bob.
That has become the new question to anybody that I have interviewed. I've noticed that.
Show, we've got some time to talk high school football here at our Husker Lunch. And boy, Robert, depending on which poll, yours, Stu's at Omaha, Riley, James, and Lincoln, there were some changes at the top. I'm seeing, did you think it would be this unsettled when you came out with your preseason rankings? Because usually those teams that are at the top, they're pretty solid. They don't get tripped up this early in the year.
Well, okay, the way I would answer that is this. I mean, I guess I can only speak for myself. I ranked it the way I ranked it because I thought that's how maybe it would eventually work out. But, you know, early in the year, at least I do, I look at programs as much as I do teams. I mean, you know, some programs are always going to be there. Well, always is a long time. And that's not turned out to be the case this year. There has been... I'm not going to be able to maybe remember it right off the top of my head, but between the number ones and number twos, there's been something like six of them at least that have been beaten already this season. And, you know, if you want to go all the way with a team like Millard North being 0-3, that's insane. And so, yeah, it has. It's shaken things up, but it's also opened the door for some other programs. And that makes it fun. I mean, this is high school football. It should be fun.
Bob, when you do your rankings, do you worry about kind of where they are now, or do you still rank them based on you think this team is still better even though they've got a loss or two? I mean, how much do you penalize them? I mean, are you looking at who you think's the top 10 truly, or basically just this week who's hot?
Well, I tell you what, I try and rank the top 10 teams that I think that are the top 10 teams, and it doesn't really matter what their record is. I going back to Millard North, I mean, that's the first thing that comes to my head. They're 0-2, and I think still 7th. There's a real strong possibility they could be 0-3 and still be in the top 10, but they were not in our top 10. I try and be realistic about where teams are at in the moment. When it comes to the preseason, I kind of straddle the fence there. I mean, you've got to allow for what teams appear to be, but, you know, we also compare our rankings with how they end up. And I try to also keep an eye on what, you know, could possibly happen when we get done here at Thanksgiving. So I don't know if that completely answers your question, but what I'm trying to do, Bush, with the week-to-week stuff is trying to rank the top 10 teams.
Talking with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. We're going to get into this week's games in a moment, but what really kind of stood out to you? I was shocked by the Grand Island Central Catholic outcome. I'll throw that out there as one of them that caught me off guard. What positively or surprisingly caught you on Friday night or Thursday?
Well, you know, the thing with the thing about Central Catholic, that surely did catch a lot of people off guard. I mean, SCOTUS has not necessarily been a great football team, or great football program, rather, for a few years now. They've been varying degrees of good, but for them to do that to Central Catholic it was an eye opener. And I don't know. Again, you've got here we go again with the week to week stuff. There have been a pretty steady diet of surprises. I don't know when I sit here and I think about the biggest surprises, I'm wondering if maybe teams going the wrong way. And two of them that immediately come to mind in Class A are Millard North, which we've already talked about. Millard North's a good football team. They're going to be back, I think, although just a couple of years ago they only won two games all season. That whole year was wrecked by injury. A team that Kearney people have been keeping track of, that kind of thing, has been Lincoln North Star. And North Star was preseason ranked. They, by all rights, they have a tremendous amount of offensive talent back. I mean, really, I could be in the camp that says that, before the season started, that would be Class A's most explosive offense. Well, it's exploded, all right. It's blown up right in their face. They got beat by Bellevue East by 28 points last week and only scored 7 points. And I can't stand here and tell you exactly what's going on, but I do know that is a huge surprise. I thought Lincoln North Star, which has not played up to its complete potential, it seems like, before. I mean, so I guess maybe it was out there, but that's been surprising. And then another big name program, last year's Class B runner-up Norris, got thumped real bad by Gretna. Norris is without Jackson Reese, their all-stater, their star player. He's been involved in the USA 18 and under baseball. But to get beat that badly had to be awfully disheartening. Now, Reese is going to be back this week, but also in that Gretna game, word has surely gotten around that Mick Stoltenberg won't be. The future Husker, he hurt his knee. He's out at least 4 weeks, and the talk has it that he probably will not play again this year.
Bob, you mentioned it a couple of times. Let's kind of put him to bed. Millard North taking on Kearney. Both teams, I mean, we could have different records for both teams coming into this game, heading into it. How do you see this game playing out?
Well, I'll get it out of the way right away. I think Millard North, I would favor Millard North in this game. Millard North's schedule has just been unbelievable. Year in and year out, Millard North and Bellevue West, if you look at their schedules, I don't know who puts them together, but it just is almost punitive. Kearney really needs a win. Kearney's played better. Kearney's really young. I still contend, especially with North Star's troubles, that Kearney's still got to be considered a serious contender to win its district. And I think maybe that's probably where Kearney's aiming right now. Although this, I hate to use the word measuring stick, but it probably is, probably for both these teams, just to see if they're heading in the right direction. Because where both of them are right now, I suppose you're thinking about just getting to the playoffs, just finding a way, get in the playoffs. Hopefully by then you're playing your best football and you still have a chance to do some damage.
Talking with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Cunningham's. It's Wednesday. It's our Husker Lunch. Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star will be on hand talking Husker football and answering your questions from 12 to 1. Come on up, enjoy lunch with us, and talk Husker football. Right now we're talking high school football. Grand Island, Norfolk. Grand Island kind of got it handed to them by Westside last week, and a lot of people love that football team right now, and Norfolk's red hot. This could be for the outstate supremacy right here if Kearney can't hold on to that title that they've had for quite a while.
Yeah, dude, I think that's a real good way to frame it, actually. I mean, these are two good football teams, and taking them one at a time, the thing with Grand Island is they played a really good football team. Westside, when we talk about teams that were probably underrated to start the season, probably the best example in A is Westside. Westside's got a a big senior class. They've got playmakers. They've got this Lane Yates, the All-Stater. He didn't play last week against Grand Island, but they have this other kid who's kind of a super utility player. His name's Drew Fitzmaurice, and he went for over 200 yards. They've got a sophomore that ran for 100. And I don't know. Westside has positioned itself. We have them second to Omaha North in our rankings, but losing to them is no crime. The thing with North Fork, you know, their starting quarterback, Taylor Reedy, is done with a broken leg. They've got a sophomore in his place. They won last week. And the thing to remember about them is they like to throw the ball. They're real effective at throwing the ball. But the two things that have a chance to make Norfolk a real solid, you know, pick to win on Friday night and then beyond that is they have a ton of seniors. I think they've got something like 17 or 18 senior starters somewhere in that neighborhood, and then they have a really good running back. You know, everybody knows if the passing game goes south, you got to be able to run the ball. Well, this Hayden Johnson is a legit kid. He had a big game last week. He's a 3-year starter, and that's somebody that Grand Island's surely going to put a lot of emphasis on stopping on Friday night. But that's a really good ball game. That's one of the best games of the week.
Well, Bob, probably one of the better games of the week in Class B will be Sydney and Aurora. How do you kind of see that one matching up?
I can't wait. I can't wait, Bush. I always say, you know, I'm always looking for somebody to get their turn. Well, Sydney is taking advantage of it. A couple of things. 2 years ago, Sydney scored 49 points all year. They scored 44 points each of their first 2 weeks. They're now 3-0. Their best player is a kid by the name of Logan Lewis. Logan Lewis has been the talk of the panhandle all last year, and especially through the summer when the Class B coaches out there in that B8 district, they all said, Sydney is the team that's going to win it. You know, Sydney's going to do this. Sydney's won one game each of the last 2 years. Well, Logan Lewis turns out to be the son of former Husker Lance Lewis, and he's doing just fine. He is a great back. They've got a kid by the name of Chance Anglin, who's a little 170-pound guy who's had a couple of huge games, and this is their chance. I mean, they've beat a couple other schools. You know, they're 3-0, which in itself is almost impossible to believe given where Sydney football has been. But if they find a way to come into Aurora and win, and you know, Aurora's got to be favored. Aurora's at home. Aurora's the one with all the tradition, and it's Aurora. But it's going to be a ball game. I'd hesitate to say that Sydney's going to win it, but Sydney is good. Sydney's a good football team, the kind of team I think that could win a playoff game.
Doug and Danny Show with Bob Jensen. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter here, talking high school football, Huskerland Prep Report at our Husker Lunch. Let's get into our rapid fire segment, and then we'll have a last question for Bob Jensen here. D2 looks pretty darn good. We've got Giltner Kennesaw this week, which maybe lacks a little luster from what has happened to start the season. Injuries one way and the loss to Giltner the other. The game all be at Shelton Fullerton. Everybody wants to see how good both of these teams are.
Think about what you just said, Duda. We're going to take Giltner and Kennesaw and put it in the trunk, and we're going to put Shelton Fullerton behind the driver's wheel there. That's quite a deal. But it is true, Giltner lost its first game. Well, they've got a whole new team practically. 17 penalties, that's kind of tough to do. And they still almost beat BDS. So Giltner is going to be fine. Kennesaw, we've been over the fact that they're minus a couple of their key players, but it is still Kennesaw football. It's going to be a really good game. I think Giltner has got to be the favorite to win that. But Shelton and Fullerton, I don't know. I always say, like I just said a few minutes ago, I'm looking for somebody to get their shot, get their turn in the spotlight. And it's Fullerton's time. It's Fullerton. If it's ever going to happen for Fullerton, it's going to happen now. They're going to play Shelton. Shelton has, over the last couple of years, really emerged as a power in D2. And I dare say I think this team is better than last year's, which I didn't think was possible. The little Jimenez kid, 115 pounds. My left leg weighs right at 115 pounds-ish. And the thing is, the kid has just been dynamite. But Fullerton is legitimately good. They certainly got everybody's attention on opening night when they beat St. Francis by 26 points, which I just if you want to tell me Fullerton's going to win it, okay, but not by 26. They're at home. You don't want to make this into too much, although I seem to be doing that right at the present. This is a really big game for Fullerton. The season doesn't end tonight for either one of them, but if Fullerton wins this game, you've got to consider Fullerton to be the best team in D2. That's what it's going to come down to. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in that game, too.
Well, one of those eight-man teams, just a story, just historic run that they've kind of have is Howell's Dodge. But clipping up their heels a little bit, they got a tough matchup this weekend coming up with High Plains.
I refuse to pick against Howell's Dodge because I have done it, and it goes bad. It just goes bad. Howell's Dodge is not vintage Howell's Dodge, but it's a really good football team. I don't think Howell's Dodge is a state championship team, could be wrong, but I think they're going to beat High Plains. The one thing that High Plains has got in its favor, besides just general athleticism, I mean, I'm not so sure that High Plains isn't more athletic if you go across the board than Howell's is. I just think Howell's is bigger and stronger and going to find a way to win that way. But I'm telling you what, High Plains can throw the ball. And the biggest question that team had coming into the season is, how do you replace Tanner Fate? I thought Tanner Fate last year was as important to his team as anybody in eight-man football. I thought he elevated the whole program, just put him on his back and off we go. Well, this kid, this Logan Engel, steps in. And Logan does it a different way. And High Plains is doing it a different way. Last year they put the ball in Tanner Fate's hands, and off he went. Mostly running, some passing, but mostly running. This year it's a lot of passing. And Angles turned out to be really good. He's had at least one 300-yard passing game. I'm not so sure he hasn't had two. And they're getting the ball. These aren't little 5-yard passes they're throwing. They're throwing the ball down the field, and we talked about it before. Covering the pass is not something high school teams do real well. If High Plains' line can hold up and give Engel some time, they can win the ball game. But I think that's about the way they've got to win the ball game.
Mayhem is everywhere.
On that awesome college football app, I live in your phone. On Saturdays, you can't take your eyes off me. You don't even watch your kids this hard. And right now, I'm the live streaming, tweeting, updating, notificationing reason that you're not watching the road. A guy just ran for a yard. Just look at me. I've got stats. Hey, guy, look at me. And if you got cut rate insurance, you won't want to look in your wallet. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Get accident forgiveness from Allstate, and your rates won't go up even after an accident. Are you in good hands?
Not available in all states. Feature is optional and subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Now
As sunny skies continue across the area today, we're looking at a high of 93, a south wind stay gusting around 15 to 30. Tonight, there's a chance for some scattered storms developing with a low near 63. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley. Right now, it's 77.
Here's the remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body, got every man in here wishing. Sipping on coke and rum, I'm like, so what, I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby, I'm about to have me some fun. Bounce, 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 bounce. Now it's like murder, she rolled. Once I get you out them clothes, privacy's on the dough.
He's still smiling, but that's only because I'm telling him funny jokes before he comes on the air. Andy from Midway is joining us here. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue, and CarneyThinkMidway.com. And let's start there, Andy, because you've kind of revamped the website there. Still all a lot of the great things that you've done, but tell us what's going on.
Yeah, we've actually gone ahead, and we have an adaptive website, and I could sit here and try and tell you about it, but the biggest thing is you just got to get to www.thinkmidway.com. Way too much technology out there nowadays, and trust me, I don't know anything. I can hook my PlayStation 3 up, and I can pop in my NCAA 2014, and that's about it. But what it is, you know, if you got a 60-inch big-screen TV with all smart technology, you can actually have this website. It will adapt and actually go ahead and make sure that it's the right size. Or if you use a smartphone, the big thing is, you know, we're talking about ESPN, we're talking about sports. If you go to ESPN, you know, they have the ESPN mobile app, and then they also have just the ESPN HTML site. There's not going to be that anymore. You know, it used to be the Think Midway HTML site, and then you also had the Think Midway mobile site. This website is so advanced, it adapts to whatever size, if it's a smartphone or if it's a 60-inch flat-screen TV, it's going to adapt and it's going to adjust to it. So it's very innovative. I know that we are the first one in the state of Nebraska to try and utilize any of this type of technology. I wouldn't be surprised if we're one of a handful in the United States that are trying to utilize this too. But it's just kind of our thing to kind of be on the cutting edge. I'm sure there'll be a couple kinks and a couple bugs. You know, it's a human-made thing, so, and humans aren't perfect. We demonstrated that Saturday. So, no, you've got to get out there, and you've got to take a look at it. It's absolutely fantastic. A lot of great deals going on this month, though, too, not just website-related. A lot of great things going on up at the Chevrolet store. Still the hottest brand out there, the hottest vehicle is that 2014 Chevrolet Silverado. Mom just purchased a brand-new 2014 LTZ Silverado. Brand-new, upgraded, redefined technology, the interior, the styling, performance-wise, more horsepower, better fuel efficiency. The vehicle is just absolutely a beast. More room, more space. That was something that a lot of people wanted out of that Silverado. They gave you an extra 4 inches in the crew cab in the rear seat. The new navigation system is absolutely phenomenal. If you haven't had an opportunity to come out and see one, you got to get up there and go visit Heath Phillips and the crew. Those guys will get you taken care of. And if fuel efficiency is something that's important to you, come take a look at, you know, the award-winning lineup that the Chevrolet cars produce. You know, you're talking Sonic, Spark, Malibu, Impala. Just a ton of different options out there. And the greatest part is we've got record levels of inventory right now, almost 500 vehicles between both stores in a two-block radius. So get on up there, go visit Heath Phillips, Darren Sprague in the game, and challenge them to get you a great deal.
Andy from Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. You can also visit them on their Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram lot or check out the brand new thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Andy, thanks, man. Andy from Midway joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Always on the road, always getting us here safe and sound. We are at the Husker Lunch. We apologize for our drop connection there with Bob Jensen, but we had talked about everything we did want to talk about. We've got plenty of high school football games going on our airwaves this week, and hopefully you can check those out at PlatteRiverPreps.com. We will have Giltner Kennesaw on the Breeze. We will have on Classic Hits 98.9 the Shelton Fullerton game. Kearney Catholic Ogallala will be on ESPN Radio. We've got St. Cecilia and Blue Hill, as well as Adams Central Fairbury, the games on the radio and on PlatteRiverPreps.com. But today, Husker football, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, is going to chat a little Husker football with us as we progress on. Folks, come on up. We'd love to have you with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show for our Wednesday Husker Lunch. You're thinking about going out to lunch, now's the time to do it. Come up. We've got a barbecue buffet. You can order off the menu if you want. We've got folks that do that as well, but you've got the pulled chicken, the pulled pork, the brisket, and the whole barbecue get together here for just $8.99. get some tea, get some lemonade, or whatever you want on top of that. But it's all there for you, all here for you at Cunningham's. And we're up top in the loft for our Wednesday Husker lunch. Randy, a lot of things going on. Let's get back to talking about what's going on with the Big Red, because I think we've covered about everything else. It was actually kind of a quiet week if it wasn't for this.
It was a quiet play until the end of it, wasn't it, Mrs. Lincoln? But, yeah, it is one of those things where people pay a lot of attention to it. I thought it was interesting the national perspective. A, they had Pelini's back, and B, they really kind of thought that Husker Nation was up in arms. I don't really get that sense. I don't get the sense that people are overly upset at his comments. You know, the second half, the fact that Nebraska didn't play very well against UCLA, separate issue altogether. And I think anybody that's really kind of upset about Pelini's comments are the people that left early, are the people that have been kind of calling for his head. And again, I don't think are overly realistic in terms of where the program's at, where we're going, and just how easy it is to win college football games. I mean, Osborne late in his career made it look rather easy, and it's unfair to kind of have that be the standard that you're kind of looking at. I think eventually we can get there. I think Nebraska can eventually get there, but that's not where we're at right now, and it's going to take some time to build back up to that. But I just don't think that there is this outcry of people that are that upset at Pelini. Are you excited about hearing that language? Are you excited about him saying that? No. But I don't think there's that outcry. I thought it was interesting that there's a Facebook page in support of Bo Pelini that's been up now for about 17, 18 hours now. In 18 hours, they have like 38,000 likes. You know, I mean, so that's not exactly an indication that people are calling for Pelini's head. I think it's about 80-20 supportive of him in terms of the comments, and unfortunate that it happened, but they understand.
Let's get to some of the emails here on the Dent Popper inbox. This comes from Ryan, who says, Doug, I had to agree with Bo on that Ohio State game in 2011. I heard a lot of people saying F Bo, F this program, as they were part of the 10,000-plus that left at halftime and didn't come back. I'm sure Bo had heard plenty of catcalls on his way into and back out of the locker room that day. What coach wouldn't be mad? As far as Tommy Frazier's comments made 4 hours after the fact, let's see what kind of reaction he gets if he is brought out at halftime of this week's game. I'm sure it would be the same 50-50 that Bo will get when he comes out Saturday. I'll disagree with you there, Ryan. I think it's going to be 100% positive when they come out of that tunnel.
I think there's going to be a roar.
It won't be 50-50 for Bo. It will be a roar. I don't care if it's South Dakota State. It'll be interesting. I'll tell you what, if I was the guys at Husker Vision, I'd make sure in the tunnel walk I showed the comeback in the Ohio State game. Also, Ryan goes on to say, maybe the whole problem with the program the last few years isn't so much the coaches as it is the strength coaches. People keep saying Bo is no T.O. Well, Tony Hobson is no Boyd Epley either. How many Outland candidates have we had since the 90s other than Sue?
I looked at the film. My cousin, my wife's cousin, whom I love, by the way, wedding happened to be at 1:30, so I really missed the entire second half and only listened to the first half on the radio. Well, I DVR'd it, watched the game the other night, and defensively, where are they supposed to be? To me, they seemed like they were in pretty good spots. So we had it like 3rd and 12 in one of those first drives where UCLA scored the touchdown. We had him wrapped up for a sack if we would have wrapped him up. We ran into him but didn't put our arms around him. There's, I think, a lot of what the X's and O's are, I think Nebraska is getting right. We just don't really have that defensive eraser that's going to make up for some mistakes in the secondary, and we don't get enough pressure with our tackles. But for the most part, the X's and O's, they look pretty solid to me, both offensively and defensively, during that period where Nebraska was getting thumped. And they did get thumped.
Let's go to the email here, and this is one of the things that just flat out irritates me. This is an irritation email for me. I was talking to our former co-host, Big Daddy Tony Davis, and he said, you know, he came to the Husker lunch a couple of weeks ago and came in when Sip was here. And he goes, that's why I can't – that was after Wyoming. That's why I can't do this anymore. I get too amped up. I'm fine, but then I get into the people talking about the Huskers, and it makes my heart go all crazy. Here's the email. I think it's a good thing that we will start a different quarterback for experience. No. Hey, where are you getting that information? There's not been anybody who says we're getting a different quarterback starting the game. And no, it's not.
Well, it's
no, it's not.
There's
you
a potential
Taylor
of the injury.
There, he's your best guy.
Yeah.
If he's ready to go, like Tim Beck said after practice yesterday, he's our best guy. If he's ready to go, you start him. If you get up like you did against Idaho State, if you get up four scores, let these guys do what they did against Southern Miss. Quit trying to rush, and why in the world would you even be rushing a senior and Ron Kellogg out there to begin with? What are you – quit it. Quit it.
You know, Michelangelo is going to be dead. Let's let somebody else do a little bit of the Sistine Chapel there a little bit. And, again, there might be a little bit of a mixed metaphor there, but Taylor Martinez – I don't think there's a question that he's the best quarterback that has an N on the side of their helmet. I don't think there's any question. I'm not even sure who's number two. And the gap there Coaches between him either. And everybody else is huge. So, you know, I think it's okay. You're looking for a silver lining. It's like, well, maybe this will be a game where we can get some experience just in case later on if that turf toe continues to be a problem or it gets worse, blah, blah, blah. And if that's the intent of the email, I kind of get it. But Taylor Martinez, no question. Best option at quarterback for Nebraska this year and next. Unfortunately, he won't be eligible next year.
Folks continuing to roll in for our Husker lunch here at the Loft at Cunningham's. Come on up. Enjoy the great barbecue. I see so many smiles here for the folks that are already eating the chicken,
well,
the ribs, the pork.
It?
Oh, it's so good. I can't wait to dive in myself here and listen to Steve Sipple. Sip has posted up on Husker Extra on the Journal Star website this morning. Bo Pelini has not shied away from the pressure. I will guarantee you scandals that have happened, whether it was in the Big 12 or the Big 10, and I won't even, you know, when Dan Hawkins was on the hot seat, his assistant coach came on the conference call. That has happened before, and they come up with some excuse, but that did not happen. He was on his conference call yesterday. He spoke after practice yesterday. This morning he was on with Bill King of Sirius Satellite Radio and said he has an idea regarding the identity of the person who leaked the audio tape to Deadspin.
There's going to be a short list of people that have access.
I want a cage match. I want a cage match. Person release tape, Bo. I know who I got in this, but anyway,
and you know what?
You can check
it's not a vice president working for the company. It wasn't the vice president. It wasn't the CEO of that company. It is somebody behind the scenes that is working minimum wage, maybe just slightly above it, that had that tape, that sat on that tape. And actually, I saw the exchange of what Deadspin kind of put out there in terms of how they acquired the tape, because they released some of the emails and stuff like that. You know, I noticed they said that, I had it not quite 2 years. I can't remember the exact phrase that they had in there. But then, you know, the timing of this, the releasing of it now after a loss like that, I mean, there's really only one reason to do that, and that is to kind of inflame people who are already upset about how the second half went against UCLA. That is the only intent. It isn't reporting. It isn't doing anything substantial, positive at all for the program.
Let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line. Bill from Kearney is standing by with a comment. Bill, what's going on?
Oh, not too much. Just getting ready to eat lunch, but I won't be joining you at Cunningham's today.
Oh, darn it. We'd love to have you. What's going on and what's on your mind?
Well, I was just, you know, listening in to what you guys had to say, and I've watched Big Red Wrap Up and all these other shows. You know, I think that we need to take the audio out of this, and we need to keep it to a couple of simple things. The reason that this gentleman was brought to coach our school, you'd have to think, based on what Osborne said when he hired him, he had to thought, we're going to have probably a top 20 scoring defense every year. And now we're going to be entering our third, fourth year where that's probably not going to happen. We've had three consecutive years where there's almost every game, three things: missed tackling, turnovers, and penalties. You know, at some point, somebody has to say how much time needs to happen for those things to get cleaned up. And in today's college football, the margin for error gets smaller and smaller every year. And so when you have those three things happen, you are going to lose your share of games. And that's really where people need to keep this. You know, those are the things that are the real problem. And if you keep it to that, they should be able to make a decision with whatever they need to do with the coaching or the coaching staff and go from there.
Bill, let me just play a little devil's advocate. What if I say it needs to take longer?
Well, maybe that's true. I don't know. I mean, I have no experience in this field. And the thing that you see that does scare people a little bit, I think, is that it doesn't just matter that you're a traditional power. I mean, what was Florida between Spurrier and Meyer? What was USC between, you know, whoever it was in the 70s and Pete Carroll? Texas went through the same thing, and now they're going through it again. You know, somewhere something has to click, you know, whether it's with specifically the head coach or if it's his staff. You know, that's, I think that's where people get worried is, you know, how long do you stay in that cycle waiting for it to come around? But, you know, again, to me, if you've got a guy that has the defensive history that Pelini has, why isn't the missed tackling fixed? Why isn't the penalties and the turnovers being improved upon? Because it's just a game-in, game-out situation with all those things.
Bill, appreciate the call. Thanks for taking the time and being with us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and always appreciate the call there.
His assessment's pretty solid.
No, he's not crazy. That's what I like.
That is, his assessment is flat on the money because, again, it was the missed tackling that kind of drives you nuts. So you look at coaches two ways. One is the X's and O's. I think X's and O's, the way they run their defense, where they try to pressure things a little bit, you're going to have some guys out in space, and you've got to make one-on-one tackles, and those one-on-one tackles aren't being made right now. And he's absolutely right. But, again, when is it? We've taught him how to do it. Now the player has to execute that, you know. And, again, you recruit these guys with the idea that they're going to become all-world, and obviously you want to draft, you know, you want to sign up three All-Americans on your defense every year. But the reality is you're not going to run into that. We haven't had that talent. And, again, the coaches are still responsible for who comes on campus. They're the ones doing the recruiting. So I think his assessment's kind of flat on the money. It's just – knowing what the problem is and then how to fix it just isn't quite that easy, you know. And the thing is, and again, he's not crazy about this, but if you get rid of Pelini, who are you going to bring in? Who do you think's going to be able to get those recruits? Is it Bowler from North Dakota State?
No,
I mean,
I don't know
who you bring in. And again, that's the best name I can kind of come up with.
Please.
And there's a gap there, and I agree with you.
Dustin, before we go into our final break here, he kind of wrote me a book. Let's see if I can hit the highlights. With all the talk about Husker football losses, a phrase that I keep hearing repeated constantly refers to coaching adjustments. From the context of these conversations, I would assume that these coaching adjustments contain remarkable and perhaps mystical properties that, when distributed by coaches to their players, allows them to instantly be able to perform better than the opposing player across from them. I wasn't aware of this amazing creation and its powers, but apparently a safety that has been given a sufficient amount of coaching adjustments will no longer miss tackles on running backs on swing passes. Corners will always be able to break up a pass in man-to-man coverage. Defensive linemen are better able to disengage from blocks. Offensive linemen are able to create larger holes for running backs to run through. Who knew that the decline of Husker football could be reversed simply by having more of these fantastic coaching adjustments? I think an investigation needs to be done as to who is in charge of the procurement of these coaching adjustments for the football team. How could a program like Nebraska not have an adequate supply? Is it a funding issue? If so, maybe donors can be located that are willing to pony up for more. We could even name the adjustment in their honor if necessary. Are they engineered or manufactured? Maybe the research portion of the university could dedicate more to the development and creation of more of them within the state. Or are the coaching adjustments an agricultural commodity? If so, then we just need to make sure we have enough farmers growing them. Contact Congressman Smith and see if there's a subsidy program that can be created. Something must be done. These coaching adjustments are vital, and we have to get more. Thanks for being a voice of reason. I can hear from at least an hour a day. Much appreciated. Thank you, Dustin. We'll be back and wrap it up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Do you have a used musical instrument at home gathering dust? Guitar Center's experts are interested in buying it from you for cash. You don't even need to be a musician. Look at attics and basements because we're buying qualified guitars, amps, pedals, keyboards, drums, and more. It's the Trade-In Expo at your local Guitar Center now through Sunday. Looking to upgrade? We'll pay cash for qualified used gear and give you a 15% discount on new gear. Plus, find awesome deals throughout the store, like ukuleles just $29.
Get your car in the game with Bridgestone. Right now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone tires, you could receive a $70 Bridgestone Visa prepaid card or a $100 GameStop gift card by mail. Visit BridgestoneTire.com for details. It's game on with Bridgestone.
Offer valid until September 30th. Prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Offer good in U.S. See associate for details. For GameStop gift card information, see GameStop.com.
Throw it away. Forget yesterday.
Doug and Daddy Show, wrapping up the show, but coming up in a moment, the statement has been released from the University of Nebraska within the last 30 seconds here. We'll read that in a moment. Before that, though, we want to remind you that Bo Pelini could run under the TNL pivot system and be cooled down from what happened over the last weekend. Maybe we should put one of those. We got the misters, but
there you go.
We need the full TNL gun over there. Purchase of a TNL system is what you need. Maximize your production with the best water distribution over your crop and the best reliability for the long haul of an extended heat wave. Call Derek Wagner of Minden today and get TNL's proven hydraulic technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. This has just come down from Chancellor Perlman and Athletic Director Sean Eichhorst. Here is the quote. The comments made by head football coach Bo Pelini in 2011, published Monday, are unfortunate and deeply concerning to us, as they would be to anyone who loves this university. Our coaches, staff, and student athletes must be held to a high standard, and Coach Pelini's remarks were unfair to the legions of Nebraska fans and not what we expect from a representative of this university. Former Director of Athletics Tom Osborne became aware of these comments and the existence of a recording more than a year ago and addressed the matter with Coach Pelini. We have observed, and many others have commented, that Coach Pelini's demeanor has significantly improved since the time of this incident. Coach Pelini has given us his assurance that he understands the seriousness and inappropriateness of his comments. We believe he is sincere in his apology and in his regret. We are prepared to put the matter to rest. Our football student athletes, coaches, and staff deserve all of our support, and we know the Nebraska faithful will be there for them. End quote. End statement. Thank God.
Yeah, and that's the exact level. And again, I wasn't aware that the university knew about this a year ago, and they've had a little bit of time to adjust. Just because it comes to light doesn't change the behavior at all. You know, and so now I think they kind of had an idea of what direction that they were going to go. And that might very well have helped how Coach Pelini was pretty cool, calm, and collected about the whole thing. Didn't duck any questions and held himself, acquitted himself very, very well. So, again, that the key phrase in there is that they're not doing anything. That this has been addressed, and they don't think that he's heading in the wrong direction at all.
I'll tell you what, we went a little over, and Steve Sippel has just arrived because he's keeping real busy on the beat as well. Sip, they just released the statement from the university. Did you get a chance to see it?
Yeah, I mean, I got the gist of it, I think. I'm surprised.
We'll do it quickly here because I know the folks want to hear from you, but this has been crazy here the last 48 hours. I think you've been right on point. Not that you need me to agree with you, and not that you need anybody that reaches
stuff to. I appreciate when you agree with me, Doug.
To agree with you.
It doesn't hurt.
A lot of people don't like me.
I think the Frazier thing is a bigger deal than the audio tape that has come out. And I really
– Really?
I think the Frazier thing has been lost in the midst, because I'm one of those guys with the audio tape, Sip, that it is what it is. It was what it was. He didn't say anything outside of swearing that a lot of people disagreed with. Are we going to forget about this by Saturday? Everybody keeps saying winning cures all. Where are we at now that this statement is out?
That's hard to say. I do think people, in a broad sense, I think people move quickly now. They move on to the next thing very quickly. But what I have sensed, what's interesting to me about this whole thing is the tipster, his little folly here backfired, because the public sentiment has shifted toward Bo. Now, the public sentiment did, but also appears the administrations did.
Good, yeah.
And I kind of commend Harvey Perlman and Sean Eichhorst for backing Bo, backing their head coach. And I think at this moment, that is the most important thing for the kids. which we never talk about. We don't talk about it enough, the impact on the players. They needed to move quickly on this because of that. I mean, it's Wednesday. The game's Saturday. It's an important game. I know it's South Dakota State, but, I mean, there's going to be interest now. And it's important for the players to get resolution. So it's been fascinating. I mean, it's about as fascinating behind-the-scenes stuff as I've ever dealt with. but whatever. I'm glad there's resolution. I'm glad they back Bo. I'm glad you know who the head coach is going forward. And we'll see how the season plays out.
All right, we just wanted to get Sip on. We're going to let you talk to the folks here. And, gang, if you want to know more from Steve Sipple, come on down to Cunningham's here. We'll be here till 1 o'clock talking Husker football, talking everything that's going on around the program right now. And, of course, read Husker Extra. Sip does such a great job with all of his crew there, and not just Sip, but Brian, and everybody else down there with the Huskers. Let's get out of here, Randy. I think we can end this on a good note today.
Yeah, I think so. I think the resolution's been there. Let's move on.
Coach Spiegelmeyer of South Dakota State will join us on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show. Luke Hoover wrote a wire to answer all your fantasy football questions. A big time for transactions. Do you pick up these hot guys? Who do you get rid of? You can email, Facebook us, tweet us your email or your RotoWire questions, your fantasy football questions for Luke Hoover. We want to thank Andy Siegel, offensive coordinator at UNK, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report, and all the folks that are here to get signed up for the Iowa tickets, for all the giveaways, and, of course, to hear Steve Sipple, the main man here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, thanks for getting me through this hour.
Oh, yeah, and, again, I think voice of reason. I'm glad the university took the steps that they took.
We got a couple of emails that just came across. We'll get to them tomorrow. Thank you so much to the folks that call and email and get a hold of us on the program. This is Doug Duda saying thanks for listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.